morning and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. This morning and next Sunday, we will be concentrating on what we will title A Better Covenant. We have been, for the last several months, studying the Word of God together, preaching a series entitled Better Than. And we've looked at several things that the Bible makes very clearly to us that we need to choose that is better for us than the things that we often choose, the way of life, the choices that we make, the experiences that we have. Leading up in this whole series, we come to this Sunday, today, and next Sunday, and I want to conclude our series by seeing that because of who Christ is, we have been given by God Himself a better covenant, a better covenant. Now, let me say before I begin this morning that my task is difficult in the sense of that it is impossible for a preacher to preach enough on this subject of a better covenant, a new covenant, to be able to fulfill all that Scripture teaches us about this. So I want to encourage you as a believer. Too many people in our world just try to hear these things instead of studying them for themselves. You need a good understanding. You need to ask God in His Word to look deep into what God promises you by way of the covenant that He has made with us as His children. You see, Matt read a moment ago out of the Gospels about Christ making His way into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. We call it Palm Sunday, as they laid down their palms before the Lord, and He made His way into Jerusalem. And they celebrated His coming really in ignorance. They had no idea. It was in true ignorance. They did not know even what they were doing, even laying the palm branches down and their coats before Him. They just knew that something unique and something evidently from God was happening. I think the Spirit of God made them know that. And what really was happening was this. God was getting ready. As Christ made His way into Jerusalem on that day, and this coming Friday we will celebrate what we call Good Friday, He was going into Jerusalem so that He could die, so that you and I could have afforded to us a covenant designed by God. It was all about a covenant. We call it Easter. We call it resurrection. And it involves that, but it was a covenant designed in the heart of God. For you see, ever since man sinned in the beginning, because of man's sin, and by the way, let me just say this so that some of you can relax a little bit. Just put your notes away this morning. They mean absolutely nothing. Okay, you just put them away. Because when you leave, you can find this. There'll be other notes out that'll have your answers. Please don't come to me and say, Pastor Roy, what was number 7? Because I probably won't know. Because I want to try to help us to understand when man sinned, the Bible says because of man's sin, God had to judge sin. Sin was condemned and judged when man sinned. I'm talking about all the way back in Adam's day. We were under the judgment of God because God is a holy God. He demands complete perfection. And when man sinned, man was separated from a holy God, and there was no hope. And yet God, in His mercy, and by the way, I want you to know something. There are people all the time say to me, I don't know why you follow God. He's too hard of a God. No, God's a God of mercy. They just don't understand how merciful our God is. God, in His mercy, in the Old Testament, devised a plan, a covenant with His people called the Old Covenant. He gave the law to Moses, commandments to follow. And it was known as the Old Covenant. And the people of God, Israel, was to abide by that covenant, by those commandments. And they knew one thing, the people in the Old Testament, God's people, they knew very clearly that the only way God could ever be appeased, the only way God could ever be pleased, was if they kept all of the law. Now listen, it was all or none. There was no smudging. You couldn't make any mistakes. You had to keep all of the law, every bit of it. If you broke one, the Bible says you were guilty of all. And so it presented in that covenant an impossibility for man. And again, I'm just trying to summarize this for us. It was an impossibility for sinful man to have a relationship with God because of that. So every year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies in the temple, in the tabernacle. And he would go to offer a sacrifice, a sin offering on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And he would go into the Holy of Holies where the mercy seat was, and he would, on the horns of the altar, he would take a sacrifice, the blood of an animal. And when he would sprinkle a sacrifice on that altar, which was simply a covering, it could not forgive sin. It was a covering to say from the people, it was the people's way of saying, God, we recognize that as a nation, we have sinned against you. Again, this year, this day. Knowing that the only way you will ever be pleased is if our sins are covered and we cannot keep your law. And so every year on the Day of Atonement, that high priest would go in and he would offer a sin sacrifice for the sins of the people as a way of pleasing God to cover the sins of the people for another year. It never forgave sin. It simply covered sin so that God's judgment did not rain down upon his people. That was all. Because God still has to judge sin. And God knew that that plan was not going to work. God knew that that demand was higher than any man could ever keep. Some people say, well, why did God do it? Because if you read the book of Hebrews, God needed us to see how needy we were in sin. And so the old covenant, he says, is like a school teacher. A school teacher that reminds us that because of our sin, we can never be at peace with God in our sin. No matter how much we try to keep it, listen, there are people who've told me before, Pastor Roy, surely my mom's going to get into heaven because she's such a good person. Listen, your mom is just like me, a wretched sinner. Now, I know some people get offended by that. Every man ever born, every woman ever born is a wretched sinner. And no matter how much we try to keep the law, do good, it's impossible to do. And so God had a plan to show us that. He set a standard that was impossible for us to keep because he knew that it was sin that put us at odds against him. It would be our sin that would keep us at odds against him. And there was no way sinful man could ever save himself, correct his sin in himself. And so God set this standard in the old covenant, knowing that man could never, never reach it. But God's plan was not completed in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant even. It was completed because he was going to tie that Old Covenant to a new covenant. Some people say, well, the Old Covenant is done away with, and even when they read Hebrews, they read that word abolished. No, it's fulfilled is what that means. That Old Covenant would be fulfilled when on that day Christ would ride into Jerusalem, knowing that he was coming for one purpose, that he now would be the high priest. And he was getting ready to go into the Holy of Holies. That he was going to be that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice for the sin of man. So that not only could our sins be forgiven once and for all, the sin of man could be done away with through the blood of Christ. And so he came to do away with the old system of the high priest, the priest of Aaron. He did away with all of those who would go in. And he says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, this is what it says about Christ. It says that now he, Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry. All of those who've come before him, who were foreshadows, who were types, who were pointing us to Christ himself, all of those priests who would go in and offer a blood sacrifice, now Christ has come. And on that week when he rode into Jerusalem, he rode in knowing that, yes, he was prophet. And some said, oh, it's just another prophet. It's that prophet from Galilee. They had that right. He was a prophet. When they laid their palms before him and they worshiped him, he certainly was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the most important part of it all was he was also priest. Prophet, priest, and king. And now he's coming to fulfill his role of a more excellent ministry. None that had ever come before him, none that would ever come after him could fulfill his role as the chief high priest, the great high priest, who would go into the Holy of Holies. And Hebrews, trying to help us to understand that God has fulfilled in Christ all of the old covenant. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. You can't, but I came to fulfill the law. And so the writer of Hebrews says this about that ministry. He has now obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. A better covenant with better promises. I want us to think about that, not just today, but throughout this week, as you go through the week, where many people will attend various services, Good Friday services, or Thursday services, or Friday night services, or wherever you go as a reminder of Christianity, of who you are as a child of God, remember that you're celebrating a better covenant with a better promise. Now, I want to look at this quickly this morning, this new covenant. I've tried to summarize the old covenant, but this new covenant that he talks about, this better covenant, he calls it a better covenant with better promises. And it's better promises because it says in Hebrews 9:15 that it has brought to us eternal inheritance, an eternal inheritance. An eternal promise, it says in verse 12 of Hebrews 9:12. As a matter of fact, I want to read Hebrews 9 beginning with verse 11. He says, but Christ, this is Hebrews 9 verse 11, but Christ, becoming a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And notice verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator, the go-between, the reconciler, same word, the mediator, the go-between, the reconciler of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption, listen to this, this is for you, this is for me, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Verse 12, he said, eternal redemption for us. And he talked about the goats, the blood of goats and bulls. And he reminds us in chapter 10, verse 1, for the law, the old covenant, having a shadow of good things to come, it was pointing us to the hope that we would have. And not the very image of the things, notice this, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereto perfect. In other words, it's impossible, no matter how many sacrifices are offered. And by the way, let me just make this practical to you, because some of you are like I have been in times past. I think that eventually I can make myself good enough. I can present my sacrifices to the Lord. I can say to God, God, I'll never do that again. God, that way of life is over. God, I'm going to change. Same principle that he's talking about here. Give yourself just a few days. You know, I won't say a few months, just a few, most of us just a few hours. Most of us just a few breaths. It's impossible in our flesh. It's impossible for a sacrifice to be offered that can make us perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, he says. In other words, they wouldn't have had to continue to offer them. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. So Christ came to a better ministry. He took it upon Himself, a covenant with God, to come to bring us this opportunity of sin being forgiven. Now, I must make you understand, or hope to make you understand something. There are the difference between the Old and the New Testaments, there are the Old and New Covenants, may be many. But some people think that because God's demands were high in the Old Covenant, that He lowered His command in the New Covenant. Not at all. His bar is the same. Anyone in sin, and the Bible says this about all of us, there are none righteous, no, not one. The bar God put, the measuring stick, was total perfection. He didn't do away with that just because the old covenant went away, no. He fulfilled it through Christ so that in the new covenant, God's demands for justice. And we hear this all the time. People say, well, how can a loving God send anyone to hell? You ever heard that? How can God say He is love and yet say to people in their sin, depart from me, I never knew you? How does that work? Because God, though He is all love, is also a God of justice. And sin demands payment. That's why every year the high priest would go in as a covering for the sin. They did not want the judgment of God upon their nation, upon their people. And so they would go in. And so now, in order to fulfill that once for all, someone has to die. A bull is not sufficient. A goat is not sufficient. Oh, yes. In the Old and the New Covenant, it's about the blood. But the blood of those animals no longer will suffice. They will not, never could meet God's demands. So God now says, the time has come. And in His covenant plan, it was this. The second man of the triune God, the Son of God, would put on human flesh. And He would walk that road to Calvary. Because God had covenanted. Listen to this. God Himself, the Father and the Son together had covenanted that He loved us so much. He loved you. Listen, you and me so much. That He would give His Son for your soul. Blows me away. I must confess to you, that blows me away. How could a God who is perfect, a God who should condemn me in my sin, love me enough that He made, listen, it was not man's plan. No, this was God's covenant with us. He didn't ask even our opinion because we couldn't have kept anything anyway. It's not a contract. A contract is a binding agreement between two parties. This is a covenant that will be kept by God, not by us. If you think, listen, if you are here and you think you're going to keep yourself saved, if you are saved, what a terrible, terrible lie you're telling yourself. That's the covenant of God to us. So Jesus came to fulfill the demands of a holy God that sin must be judged. So He walked that road to Calvary. After all that He went through, they nailed Him to a tree. And they suspended Him between heaven and earth. And listen, God poured. Listen to me. God, yes, is a God of love. But He's also a God of judgment, a God of wrath. The Bible says on that day, on that cross, God poured the wrath of your sins and my sins upon the spotless, perfect sacrifice, His Son. Every one of them. You think of the worst sin that you can think of. God poured that upon His Son. He took the wrath of God. Listen, not for Him. He didn't do it for Himself. He was holy God. Do you not understand? This was the very God of God on the cross that day in the form of His Son. And He took that wrath, the wrath of your sin and my sin, because God wanted to fulfill His covenant for us and judge our sins, listen, once for all. So Jesus dies. We call it Good Friday. He dies hanging on that cross because God had a plan. And they put Him in a grave, a borrowed tomb. Satan thought he had won. Yet on the third day, the Bible says, Christ arose. And we celebrate resurrection power, knowing that once for all, Christ died so that, listen, you, this is totally between you and God. I'm not even going to say it for you. Christ died so that Roy could be forgiven. He did it for me. But I'm not special. That's why the Bible says He did it for the world. So that all the world would know that God is a God of love who offers to them, everyone, forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration. But only one way. Through the blood of the mediator, the go-between, Christ. That's why we say our salvation is by faith, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He's the only way. Religion can't do it. If that would have worked, they would have had it made in the Old Testament. If that worked, people would have it made today. Religion doesn't help any. It's through the blood of Christ where we come understanding that when we believe in what Christ has done for us, and that's a big subject. I'm not trying to make it difficult. I'm not even trying to oversimplify it. I know this. I know whether or not I have believed, and you know whether or not you have believed. I don't know whether you believed, and you don't know whether I believed. I only know whether I believed. But on that day, many, many, many years ago, as I get old now, today I celebrate that when I believed in Christ, the Son of God, that His blood was shed for me on that cross and He would forgive me if I repented, turned away from my sin, and confessed Him as Lord, He totally justified me in the sight of a holy God, and that is my position in Him. Then, and guess what, today, even in all of those years, still in sin, I've been put in a position where that sin is covered, forever forgiven in the blood of Jesus. And one day, praise God, not because of me. One day I'm going to spend eternity with Him. Until then, He's going to walk with me, as the song says, and He's going to talk with me. I'm going to be His child, and He's going to help me in this crazy, messed up, unbelievable, stupid, silly, sinful world. We could just sit all day and define the world, could we not? Where would we be in this world without Christ? That's a big question, but even more importantly is, where will we be without Christ in eternity? That's why when Jesus, listen, let me just wrap this up if I can. It's why when Jesus sat down with His disciples, if you come to the program, you will see this. Jesus sat down with His disciples that last Passover. We didn't have to wait for Hebrews to tell us this. Jesus told us this. As He took that cup and He passed it to those men, here's what He said. This is my cup of the new covenant, which is shed for you. You see, the thing that I want you to know about the new covenant is this. It's very personal. It was for you. It's for me. Jesus said, this is my cup of the new covenant, which is shed for you. I have no idea where you stand before God today. If you stand in your sin, listen, if you're standing on your own merits, you're standing in your sin. If you're standing in your religion, I have people all the time, I ask the question, are you a follower of Christ or a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? They'll say, yeah, I'm a Baptist. Well, you're probably going to die and spend eternity in hell because you're dependent upon something that some Baptist taught you rather than the gospel. I have people say, yeah, I'm a Catholic. Well, guess what? Just like there are going to be a lot of Baptists in hell, there'll be a lot of Catholics in hell too. And there'll be a lot of Lutherans in hell. There are going to be a lot of Methodists and a lot of Church of Christ. And you tell me what religion you are, and I'll tell you there are going to be a lot of folks following a religion that's going to wind up in a place called hell because they're standing in the merits of a religion and a religious practice. No, the gospel is Jesus died, was buried and rose again, and God wants that covenant fulfilled in us by faith, in Christ alone, through grace alone. You can't earn it, you don't deserve it, but He offers it. And He says to all who believe, to all who receive, to all who come. And He pleads that till the very end. Read the last few words in the Bible. Let him who is athirst come. Let him drink. Let him eat. He offers life, eternal life. But it is only in His Son. Next week we will deal with the rest of the story about how definite it is that our only hope is in Christ. So today I ask you, are you a recipient? Have you received the new covenant in your life? Interpret that. I don't know how to tell you to interpret that. I just know this. I know that you know whether or not you know Christ. I know that I know that I know Christ. And if you have any doubts about that, you need to, by faith, turn to Jesus. You say, well, people think I'm foolish to do that. No, they won't. And really, what difference does it make? We don't care what people think. This is God's plan. This is God's covenant. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. And by the way, that's why it always bothers me and worries me in the world in which we live in. We got too many proclaimers of the Word of God that are trying to point people to their own goodness and how much better they can be and all of this kind of stuff. Listen, here's the only thing I know about Roy. The longer I live, the worse I get. That's all I know about me. And by the way, husbands, I can talk to your wives and they tell me the same thing about you. And wives, I can talk to your husbands and they tell me the very same thing about you. And I talk to parents and they tell me that about their kids. Then I talk to the kids, they tell me that about the parents. You know what I know? It's true about all of us. Sin has its consequences. We're not getting better. Matter of fact, the Bible says the closer we get to the return of the Messiah, the worse we will get, humanity. So we need a Savior. And God sent us one, hallelujah. Did He not? The perfect sacrifice for our sins so that we might have life. So I'm going to ask you this morning to bow with me right now, right where you are. I'm not going to ask Matt to come. You see, the Bible says it's with the heart man believes. It's with the heart man believes. It's with the mouth we confess. Have you believed? I'm not talking about with the head. I'm talking about have you believed the gospel? Knowing that your only hope is Jesus. And we don't offer Him to you as if, hey, you got to take Him because He's your only offer. No, you recognize that He is that great gift. It's not something, He's not just an escape. He's just not a crutch. No, He is the greatest gift and you see it, you recognize it for the first time. Hallelujah, what a gift. God, You are offering me life. Not so that I can escape just something or be, no, You're offering me this wonderful gift of Jesus. And I see the greatness of that gift in Him. My sin can be forgiven. I can stand clean before You no matter what I've done. He sees me through the blood of His Son. And I'm clean. What a beautiful thought. I'm clean. I'm pure. I'm holy. Because because of Him. If you've not yet placed faith in Christ, because the Spirit of God drawing you right now is making you know that, now is the time. Tell God that. Tell Him with your own heart. Tell Him you're that sinner that needs forgiveness and cleansing. Tell Him you desire that life that is eternal. Tell Him that you receive that covenant. As Jesus would offer that to those disciples that night, I know that they must have wondered, what is He talking about? But oh, later they got it. And if you receive Christ, you'll get it. You'll understand it. You'll see it. You'll experience it. It will be life-changing. So if that is you today, I want to encourage you. Let somebody know that today you have turned to Christ by faith, receiving His grace for life. Meaningful here, eternal there.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.